everybody, and welcome to On The Box, the Geek Show's dedicated TV podcast on the Geek Show Podcast Network.
Hello.
Hello.
There's a scattering of hellos there.
Yes, hello, I am Rob.
And I'm Andrew.
And I'm Owen, and there are only three of us today.
Yeah, there was going to be a fourth, but we seem to be missing a Jordan.
Yes.
And it was very Where did you put him, Owen?
Nowhere.
It's not his work. Jordan is like basically our cat. He kind of just shows up as and when he pleases.
Yeah, I'll leave rubbing his belly to you guys.
No, he's off belly rubs after he dropped a dead mouse on the floor.
All right, okay.
See, anyway,
with it being Jordan, I just expect some kind of, you know, some dubstep DJ to be lying in the corner.
Anyway, I thought we had a news section.
Yeah, we have much exciting news today.
We say it's a news section.
It's very loosely a news section.
It starts off as news, then kind of turns into arguments.
Okay, so let's start off with the BBC. They are making a new sci-fi thriller based on China Myvill's The City and the City.
Yeah, I haven't read this one, but I've heard good things about it. And China Myvill, I've read some of his other stuff as well. Because when you look at the name, right, it sounds like a woman's name. And for years, yeah, I thought China Myvill was a woman. Then I found out he's kind of a burly, bald guy.
Yeah, he's literally the blokiest looking bloke I have ever seen.
I mean, that's a picture of him, Owen.
Oh, my God.
Like with the shaved head and the scowl and the earrings.
Yeah, he looks like quite a bloke.
I was like, okay. Wasn't quite what I was expecting, but yeah, we'll go with it.
It's been adapted by Tony Grissoni.
Sorry, who?
Known for Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Southcliffe, the Red Riding Trilogy, and The Unloved.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Apparently, the part is following Inspector Tyodor Borlu, who investigates the discovery of a foreign student's mutilated body on a wasteland in the city of Bezel.
Bezel. Yeah. His searches lead to the revelation the dead girl was involved in so-called political turmoil between Bezel and neighbouring twin city Ulcoma, with no one allowed to see anyone from the other city and the borders between the cities patrolled. To solve the mystery, Borlu must deal with violent deaths around him and cross the borders. So, kind of like the current, like, you know, migrant crisis. Must deal with violent deaths around them and cross the borders.
So it's quite relevant.
Yeah.
But not to solve a murder, just to find freedom and security.
Yes.
But yeah, anyway. Weird how things parallel with the real world, isn't it?
It is. It seems like lots of things kind of get these accidental parallels.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I haven't read this book, but I think it's due for a read.
Mm.
Yeah. Plus, I think it's interesting in and of itself that the BBC are kind of branching out into these kind of sci-fi shows.
Maybe they've been listening to us.
I was going to say, I mean, you must be quite happy that they're actually taking note of something you might be saying.
No. Are they using
common sense?
I'm hoping they're using common sense.
Well, I assume what it is after the success of things like Jonathan Norrell and Mr. Strange.
Yeah.
Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell.
But I knew I was going to get it the wrong way around. I knew one day it was going to happen.
Yes. Revenge. Because I got it wrong and you jumped on me. You were like a badger on me. You wouldn't let it go. And I had to suffer the shameful, you know, ignominy of being wrong. And now you are wrong. I have my revenge.
But for Rob to be caught out being wrong is quite an achievement in itself.
No, I'm wrong a lot.
Yeah, but we don't call you on it. Actually, sometimes we do.
No. You guys perpetually call me on it. It's like your favorite pastime.
That's the entire reason I do this podcast, is to wait for Rob makes mistakes so I can jump on them.
Kind of says a lot about our normal lives, and that is our favourite pastime.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, isn't it?
It's a little bit.
Yeah, you went down that road. I had nothing to do with that one.
No, that's true. That's true. That was me. Anyway, shall we move on?
Yes. So let's just finish off this story. China Myvill, has written a lot of other sci-fi books. Might be a good opportunity to check out his work, because he is a talented author and a talented sci-fi writer. Because some of the other stuff I've read of his has been quite good. So, yeah. I think this one is due for a read. Mm. So we know exactly what it is when it comes out. And we can criticize it by saying, BBC, you didn't do this right.
Yes, the scene is slightly different from the book. Shall we boycott the show?
I've just realized what we are. You know when you get those fan conventions for like a TV show, like the real hardcore Trekkies, the ones who say in episode whatever at like 5 minutes and 32 seconds you did this, but then in this episode like four seasons later you said this. Aren't those two things contradictory?
Yes.
That's what we are.
Yep. We even all have the glasses that we can push
we
up our faces.
We do all have glasses.
No. It's synchronized push-ups.
I think you'll find.
So, yes.
I'll bring my asthma inhaler so I can take a little puff of it.
I've got mine in my bag as well. So.
Oh, God. Does that mean I now have to get asthma just so I can be part of the club?
Yes,
oh, God.
You're
Craig's
not one of the cool kids if you don't have asthma.
Craig's getting one out as well. Am I the only one with no breathing difficulties whatsoever? No, you have hay fever. You don't count. Kids today have no stamina.
excuse me?
I'm allowed to call you that.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll just leave old man Rob to his ramblings and move on to the next story.
Get off my lawn!
Get off my land! Anyway.
Anyway, moving on. Sticking with the BBC, Sue Perkins picked a fight with the culture secretary. Not quite. She was at a dinner with the culture secretary, John Whittingdale, is it? Or something like that.
I don't care. I don't care who he is.
But
yes, John Whittingdale.
Yeah, she basically took the opportunity, since they were sitting opposite each other, to basically get her two cents in about the BBC cuts and how she felt about them. Because she is very passionate about, you know, about her job and about the things that are created on TV, etc., etc. And she does a good job. I like Sue Perkins. You know, I wouldn't say I was like a hardcore fan of Sue Perkins and, you know, Mel Gudrick, but I like them because they're on the Bake Off and they're charming and you know,
they make everything lovely.
Yeah, they're just kind of charming and they're like you know when you get a dopey cat.
Yes, they're a bit like the lovable dopey cats of the BBC.
No, a dopey cat and a dopey dog together, and they're both being idiots together. And you just sit there and you go, aww, aren't they cute? And, the dopey cat and the dopey dog are just basically just frolicking around, playing with each other. And generally, and every so often, they run up and they just stare at you with, like, puppy cat with, you know, kitten or puppy dog eyes. And go, ooh, and you go, yeah, scratch them under the chin. Then they go back to just romping around, just being dopey cat and dopey dog.
You've put a lot of thought into this metaphor, haven't you?
Yes. I have. Well, it kind of started running away from me a little bit. Yeah. I was having to run to keep up.
Although not quite a dopey cat in an encounter that's been described as feisty and full and frank.
Yeah, but that's Sue Perkins. See, the politicians generally aren't used to dealing with people who are quite, you know, quite linear. They're quite straight.
I actually know what they're talking about.
Well, it's not that they actually know what they're talking about. They basically put the politicians in a position where the politicians have they basically have no chance to do anything but say yes or no. They give them really direct questions. And the politicians aren't used to really direct questions, which require really direct answers.
No, that's true. That's true. I mean,
see, it's kind of the Paxman interview approach where he used to just hound them and go, no, I'm saying this. So it's a yes or no answer. It's a yes or no answer. And they keep trying to do like the political, you know, the political answer.
Yeah, they're
like, no,
around.
It's yes or no.
Yep. So he just hounds them, then insults them for being incompetent.
Yes.
That is basically...
Somewhere at this dinner, Paxman is probably there with like his hood up. He's sitting there going, excellent. Exactly.
Good.
I just got that in my head now. Paxman is the mentor for Sue Perkins.
Paxman is the emperor.
It's Emperor Paxman.
Oh, dear.
That's good, you know.
He was always there to point out the foibles in every politician, only to secure his position as the emperor.
Can you imagine Paxman just sitting there on Newsnight with Nick Clegg or someone like that, going, "Strike me down with all your hate, and no. Your journey to the dark side will be complete."
No.
Saying that to Nick Clegg, who's
no. Nick Clegg's the one that gives him the emergency powers to take over.
No. Nick Clegg, right? He's not fully the dark side because he was a Lib Dem.
No, I know.
He wasn't fully the dark side. His journey wasn't complete. So if he was in an interview with Jeremy Paxman, Paxman could say that line. And
what I'm saying is that Nick Clegg is the Jar Jar Binks of the situation.
Surely if anyone is the Jar Jar Binks, it's Ed Miliband.
He nailed it.
Okay, I'll concede to that. I'll concede to that point.
So Nick Clegg, it has to be, my young apprentice.
But you're basically saying Nick Clegg's Anakin Skywalker in this, and that's like...
No. Nick Clegg was Luke Skywalker. That's why he wasn't cool.
Oh. Whoa. Hang on a second.
Han Solo was cool. Luke Skywalker was not cool.
But who's going to be Han Solo? And if you... I'm not saying... No.
Well, David Cameron is clearly the Princess Leia in this situation.
Oh, my God, no. I've got, like,
oh,
really
God,
bad...
Oh, God, no, don't. I'm getting that as well. Oh, God, no.
There you go. With the collar and the chain.
Oh, no. That was basically our entire leadership.
This conversation has gone horribly, horribly wrong.
It really has. It really has.
Slave girl Cameron.
Well, can we swiftly move on to who I think would have been the Han Solo of the situation? No, Barack Obama. If we've passed on that news, and can we just move on to something else?
What, Barack Obama was Han Solo?
Yes.
So he is like the only politician cool enough to be Han Solo.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes. Anyway, so, yeah, Sue Perkins had a heated discussion with John Whittingdale. And then she basically said, "You'll take my points on board. Otherwise, I'm going to kiss you into horrific submission." She admitted that she had a couple of glasses of wine at that point. So her tongue was a lot looser than normal. And normal Sue Perkins has a very loose tongue anyway.
Yes.
So, yes. Just kind of, Sue, we love you.
That's like, it's kind of a primary school ground threat, isn't it? It's like,
yeah, but when you, the MPs of today, the politicians of today, you know, a 5-year-old could do a better job.
True.
That's the, they do all just sit around the House of Lords, just kind of like with a No Cooties Club sign.
No, we cannot allow girls into our club. I'm a girl. But you're quite manly.
Oh,
but
you're, I know you're a girl.
Why do I have a feeling I know who we're talking about?
Yes. Sorry, Angela Merkel. I don't know where this is going.
On behalf of the Geek Show, we apologise to all of Germany.
And now Germany want to kill us. I have no idea where this is going, so we're
going to
leave
it. It's going over to Barack Obama. Yay,
yes.
Segue.
Yes.
Okay, so
finally,
Barack Obama is set to start in a new TV show with Bear Grylls.
Yeah.
Called Running Wild with Bear Grylls.
That's
why Bear Grylls is in the show with the Bear Grylls in the title.
Running Wild with Bear Grylls.
Is it Bear Grylls? Is Bear Grylls in it? Because that...
No, Bear Grylls is in it.
I'm sorry, but... With his name. No, I've just got Bear Grylls, Barack Obama as the headline.
Oh, that is an interview I'd love to see.
No, that's just like the headline on the newspaper. It's like, Bear Grylls, Barack Obama.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Anyway, yes. Barack Obama's already flown out to, I think it was Alaska, to start shooting this.
Yeah, he's going to be running around the Alaskan wilderness.
Yeah. I mean, he's saying that part of the reason to do this is because the ice is melting and he's trying to shore this by doing a survival program in Alaska, of all places.
Well, it's not just a survival program. I mean, he's doing this to observe the effects of climate change on the area. And he's the first president to appear on the show, obviously.
Well, yeah.
You know, because it hasn't been running that long.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Besides, if they had George Bush, and I doubt he'd have any survival skills.
Imagine Bear Grylls would probably lose him on purpose.
Imagine if George Bush didn't it. Bear Grylls and George Bush. It's just kind of, yeah, why?
Bear Grylls and George Bush.
Doing a survival. I mean, I doubt George Bush even has survival skills. He barely survived the White House.
Like I said, Bear Grylls would probably lose George Bush on purpose.
Yes, just to do the world a favour.
It's like, no, George, the tigers like it when you try and hug them.
Yes, the tigers do like it when you hug them. Jordan, you're
Hi.
The cat. Tell
I'm
us,
here.
As our resident cat, how does it feel to be hugged as if you were a tiger?
Very unsatisfying, to be brutally honest. It is
Especially even if it was by George W. Bush.
Especially if it was by George W. Bush. Although, getting hugged by Kanye West would be a bit more disappointing. And
I was really worried what the next word was going to be there.
I was wondering how to explain this next bit. So. Yeah.
Did your metaphor get away from you as well?
Yes.
It's interesting you brought him up because quite recently, he announced that he was going to run for president, I think, 2020 or something.
Yes.
Like.
Yeah, but hang on. Is he not listening to the words from his own song? No man should have all that power.
Clearly not. And clearly he's not listening to...
I'm sure he sings it in that voice.
Yes,
well.
He does. Yeah. The other question being, right, is Kanye West listening to anybody else? No, nobody wants Kanye West as president.
I don't think he even listens to himself.
No.
He convinces himself that he's right, but he's always wrong.
The next president should be Snoop Dogg.
Yes.
Wow.
President Dogg. I
was talking about this.
I have seen his wildlife documentary. I know the truth. He is.
His first official motion will be to instate himself as Prez Dizzle for Lizzle.
Yes.
I was talking about this with a couple of mates earlier. I'd love to see Charlie Sheen as president.
Charlie Sheen
would be brilliant.
No. Charlie Sheen would be vice president to Snoop Dogg's president. He'd be vice president or secretary of state. You know, something like that.
Charlie Sheen is secretary of state. Yeah. That'd be quite cool, actually.
Exactly. You know, but Snoop Dogg for president, man. Seriously. Snoop Dogg gets everywhere. We've already established this. He's like, you know, he's like this weird cosmic existence, or you know, that silent fart that just kind of lingers. One or the other, I'm not sure which.
It's a bit of both in that.
No, because you know he does. You know, it's Snoop Dogg, and I'm afraid about the set. If I say it's the second one, I'm going to disappear somewhere.
Yeah. But to bring it back to what I was going to say, because obviously when I start saying something, it just spreads out into different directions. I would rather see Barack Obama run for president in 2020 and see Kanye West try and survive in Alaska.
No, I have the best idea in the world.
Can we just get rid of Kanye West?
No. They need to change the two-party system in America. They need to get rid of this whole idea of the election. If you're going to run for president, you make it a proper run for president. You take the candidates for the presidency and you make them trek across Alaska.
Yeah, the first one across Alaska. Whoa,
survival
wins.
Trek across Alaska. Whichever one's still alive at the end gets to be president.
Well, there's a concern there because there's every chance that it will be Sarah Palin.
No, because Sarah Palin could only manage if she had a gun, but this is a survival trek. You're not allowed that stuff.
Oh, that's true. She can't kill with her bare hands, so...
No, and, you know... I'm sure everything she's killed has kept an eye. You know, they basically marked it down.
Yeah.
Sarah Palin, they've got a picture of her with the target on. You know, like, yeah, enemy, we must kill. This is in, like, you know, Caribou language or something.
I bet you it's like Terminator and stuff like that. Like, I mean, you know, where she's actually got the circle and everything like that in her eyes, like scanning them constantly.
No, because you make it sound like Deadshot now.
She's definitely not Deadshot.
No, her aim apparently wasn't that good.
We can confirm she wasn't Deadshot.
Well, no, to be fair, she's as good without a gun as Deadshot is without a gun.
Yeah, but Deadshot without a gun, as you so eloquently put it, you know, his ability was super mustache growing.
Nice.
Oh, and throwing guns at people because he couldn't shoot them. Basically, he was just like some bloke on a street corner after he lost the ability to shoot
it's
properly.
It's Andy since he's not here. He's on that street corner at the moment.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a mustache.
That we know of.
Actually, this is true.
Magical mustache. I bet
we don't know if Andy pencils on that mustache when he's not here. You know, he might just get, you know, the eyeliner pencil go and then just put like a little swirl at the end.
No, I seem like the he does it on one half
no,
of
with
his
with a little top hat as well.
No, what he does is he does a mustache on one half of his face and then he just kind of talks to himself in the mirror constantly switching around.
Yes. You have foiled my dastardly plan.
Curses!
Do we have more news?
Yes, we do.
I had a feeling we had more news.
But we do. We have a news story as appropriately crazy as our conversation.
Yes, right. There is a news story that is that. See, the thing is, we've been tangenting quite hard with the news today, and there's a reason for that, and it's this final news story. It's the final news story, which, if we didn't tangent, it would be out of
Jordan
place.
Jordan doesn't know about
this. Yes.
Oh.
This is superb.
Am I going to have a field day with this?
Yes, you are.
You are.
Right, you arrived at just the right time, Jordan. This is, like, the most superb news, and it just... When you read it out, it just feels like we're tangenting already. It feels like we've moved into that other world. David Bowie is working on a musical. Really, working on a musical of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yes! Oh, this is going to be fun.
Not only that, John Legend, Steve Tyler from Aerosmith, and Cyndi Lauper are going to be involved.
This is going to be fun, isn't it? Who's going to play who?
I don't know.
Mind you, I can see Steve Tyler as Patrick. I can actually picture that now, and it could be pretty damn funny.
I hope David Bowie is Squidward.
No. It's a new. The headline is kind of exploding out a bit more than it actually is. Basically, David Bowie is contributing a song towards the new SpongeBob SquarePants musical, and yeah. It's like, what? I mean, it's a David Bowie song.
When you say it's a musical, are you mean like it is going to be a stage show musical?
It's going to be a musical, yes. It's opening in Chicago.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, Chicago known very well for their love of SpongeBob.
Not only that, music for the musical is also being supplied by John Legend, Steve Tyler, Cyndi Lauper, Joe Perry, and what was it? Ty and the Flaming Lips.
Wow.
Yes.
I mean, given...
More importantly, right, you can see this where this is going. So Steve Tyler's going to write like a massive rock song for it. Bowie's going to write like a power 80s anthem.
And not only them, just to give you the rest of the musicians involved, Lady Antebellum, Panic at the Disco, Plain White Tees, There Might Be Giants, Jonathan Coulton, and Dirty Projectors are also on board to make music.
So Panic at the Disco.
This is
the worst festival lineup ever.
I like Lady Antebellum.
It's like you could see this being a sellout at festivals, right?
Yeah, actually,
festival, this would be a sellout stage at any festival, but it's all being focused on SpongeBob SquarePants. Now, this is where it gets a little weird. The question I have to ask is, why SpongeBob SquarePants, you know, of all of the properties in the world, you know? They could have easily done, like, a Game of Thrones musical.
Oh, that would have been quite something.
Yeah, but no, SpongeBob SquarePants is going to be the greatest rock opera of our time.
That's what I mean.
I think the way it's going to work out is because SpongeBob will appeal to all generations.
Oh, God. Well,
because kids love it, adults hate it, right? And people from other countries hate it anyway and don't understand it. And even it's the fish like, don't like it.
Yeah, it's just, why?
And then adults are like it because of the names of the singers in it, basically.
I mean, I'm a fan of Lady Antebellum. I think they're quite good, but a SpongeBob musical, it's just like, of all the things you could attach your name to, there are People make mistakes.
I can picture already, right? And I can envision John Legend's song for it, which we all know John Legend's songs are like emotional stuff, which means what's this going to be?
Yeah.
This should be quite fun.
Patrick Starr dies.
Yay!
But, I mean...
I know, Patrick was cool. SpongeBob dies. Let's kill off the main character.
Twist, yes.
Well, let's put it this way. In the history of, say, rock operas, you've got Tommy. You've got the Rocky Horror Show. You've got Hair. You know, you've got
Jesus. SpongeBob.
No, you've got Jesus Christ Superstar. And Grease. And SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yes.
It doesn't have that particular ring.
It doesn't quite work, does it? It's just kind of, one of these things is not like the other.
Spot the odd one out.
I can't wait till it's like years in the future and someone's like, yes, we need to find a collection of like the greatest musical artists of the 21st century. So it goes, wait, we have this. The SpongeBob SquarePants musical.
I know, what about something like Quadrophenia? How the hell is that going to match up to SpongeBob SquarePants?
It's ridiculous. I mean, in Chicago, of all places, I mean, what Chicago also came as they're going as the Blues Brothers. I mean, it would have been more, wouldn't have been more out of place if they even said, well, so where's it going to open up? Oh, Detroit, the home of American music. What are you doing? Why is this going to exist? Please just stop.
No.
Mind you,
I disagree with Owen there. I think they should not stop. I think they should make this and make it as hard as they can to the best of their ability. And I reckon we should have SpongeBob SquarePants as one of the greatest rock operas of all time. I reckon it should be in there just because we are humans and we like things that are stupid.
All it should really be is like the Morris Minor of the musical world.
No.
The warning to history.
No. I think it should be there as one of the greatest rock operas of all time, because it can be an inspiration to future generations. And my God, I am sick of hearing Pinball Wizard.
Is that the only reason why you want this? It's because it would be better than Pinball Wizard.
He's a Pinball Wizard.
For that, I'm saying the pun. So, do you think Steven Tyler's song is going to be I Don't Want to Fish a Thing?
Wow.
Brought it on Andy, yourself.
No, Andy, we missed you. I thought you were on your way to Manchester. with your drawn-on mustache.
Well, you know he's wearing the contacts today as well, so he'll be wearing the contacts and the moustache and the top hat. I bet he was wearing a monocle as well.
And a purple cape.
Monocle.
There's a cape as well. There's a cape involved.
Yes, Andy with his bishy eyes. I'm going to look at you like this. Anyway, right. That was the news today.
Oh, was that the news? I thought it was just rambling.
No, that was the news. And don't you accuse me of rambling. You rambled just as hard as we did.
Yeah, but I was.
That's like the pet. The pet? The kettle calling the pot.
I thought it was the pot calling the kettle.
One of those. I don't know where the pet came from. I think it's because John walked in and we've already established he is the cat.
At least at certain points, I tried to steer us somewhere in the right direction.
It's not going to work. You're just going to go with the flow.
You're just going to go with it.
Yeah. Anyway,
just go with the flow.
Right. We're going to tell you. We're going to head into what have you been watching? So, guys, what have you been watching?
I'll go first.
There we go.
So, I have been watching probably a show with one of the most unfortunate titles in existence.
Tut.
No. Series 2 of The Strain.
It's taken him two whole series to and only now are the turtles appearing.
Oh. It's only the head of the turtle as well.
Teenage Mutant.
Yes.
Well, I'm not watching that now. Neither of them.
Oh, well.
So The Strain, it's basically kind of like The Walking Dead, but with vampires. Actually, no, it's more like, I guess, Fear the Walking Dead now. Because it's kind of sort of as the world is ending, and kind of these vampires are rising up and starting to take over the world. Mm. And like a small group of characters are trying to stop them. which sounds cool, but I think it's one of those shows with a lot of interesting ideas and just really bad execution.
Okay. Oh, so it's all about vampires.
Yeah. But different, not just vampires, because it's actually based on a series of books written by Guillermo del Toro. So the vampires are like kind of these weird sort of monsters with like, it's like sort of Yoshi tongues with like spikes on the end. And they turn people into vampires by injecting parasitic worms into them.
Does it actually stick along with the books? Or does it divert off the books
I think it's pretty close to the books.
I think that's the issue with quite a few shows now anyway, is the originality for stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you look at The Walking Dead, you've got the Game of Thrones now as well, so big selling books, which are now made TV series.
And the TV series is kind of starting to go off in their own direction.
Well, I mean, The Walking Dead is, I think, just about to finish off with the books. I think, if you're mistaken.
The Walking Dead? What, the graphic novels?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think. I assume they're going to end
I mean, Game of Thrones has already started diverting massively away from the books, so.
Which, that's because George R. Martin can't write the books fast enough to keep up with the show.
Yeah, I feel sorry for him, actually.
Hmm.
But the thing is, though, now, when a TV show actually does overtake a book, does that mean the book's then going to have to redo it all to actually match with the TV series?
Probably the books will just keep going in their own direction.
Then people are still going to end up saying, oh, hang on a minute, why didn't they make this bit in the TV series? Which is the issue that most people will have with that.
That's true, but the problem is that when you have got them already deviating from the books, to then say, well, the book's going to continue on this way, they're going to then have to kind of retweak all the other previous books. Otherwise, it's not going to have the same kind of flow.
Mm.
So I think in terms of ethics and morality, they have to continue on the book line. With the TV shows, I mean, you've got the producers and the directors taking their own artistic liberties with it. So I think that's okay.
Mm.
Yeah, because I think something you have to adapt the book to work on TV. So some changes are always going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But back to The Strain.
The Strain.
It's not a good program.
The Strain!
I was waiting for someone to do it. I'm amazed that none of you have actually done it beforehand.
I was trying to be the mature one. And
we're trying to be mature.
Obviously, the oldest one here is going to be the
most
child.
Childish.
Yes. It's called senility. It'll happen to you.
Yes. Not for another 50 years, it won't.
Ooh.
That was a low blow.
That was harsh.
That was a low blow.
That was steep. Hopefully Rob's old enough that he's going to forget what you said.
Who are you? What am I? What am I doing here? Why is there a microphone in my face?
Because people care what you think.
Really?
Strangely enough, that's
why we put the headphones on in my
ass. Who are these people? What's going on? I want to go home. I don't know who you are.
I think we need to take him back
to the home now.
Yes. Yeah. I was thrown back in the canal.
No. Have a nice game of shuffleboard or something like that. Do you want to play checkers? I think you'll find you live in England. It's called drafts.
Mm.
Yes.
Crazy game of checkers.
Yes. Anyway, The Strain.
The Strain, it's just everything about it is so horrifically underwhelming.
Yeah.
It's like the vampires themselves. They seem like these really cool monsters. Like, they're fast and they're smart. And, like, they can kill you instantly with their tongue things.
Their tongue things? Vampires never used to use their tongue.
Is there something you want to talk about, John? Now is the time to share it.
But yeah, these really weird, freaky monsters...
Until they start fighting
one of the main characters, then suddenly, like, they just, like, slowly walk towards them and, like, yep, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. Oh, here comes my tongue. And then it kind of, like, loosely flops around on the floor.
Wow. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. I have to compliment you on your hand movement.
No, it's just the description didn't need the hand movements.
Yeah, but I think the hand movement just, like, topped it nicely.
I'm sorry, but there's not a not weird way to explain it. Especially where the tongue is just, it's out there, and it's flopping around, and the heroes are just like waving swords about.
Lifeless and limp.
And it's all limp and flaily.
Well. Oh God. Well.
I'm not trying to make it dirty, but it just is.
You just can't help it.
There's no tongue version of Viagra or something like that.
Well.
Your tongue's all floppy and limp. Wait a second, I'll just take this pill.
I have some little blue pills that will solve that problem.
Hmm.
No. I mean, seriously, is there such a thing as, like, tongue impotence?
Yes, because yes, I've seen it.
You can get numb tongue, so... It can kind of... why are we even...
You're the one who's carrying on.
You brought it up.
We're just waiting for an explanation now.
Have you... Right, have
not out there, you answered it.
You've had fillings before, haven't you? You've had the injection.
Yes.
You know how your tongue goes afterwards. It goes all numb.
No, but half my face was numb.
Yes.
I don't know anything about my tongue being numb. I just know that this cheek here felt like rubber, and I felt a bit like Mr. It's the closest feeling I had to being Mr. Fantastic.
In that case,
Plastic Man. I felt like I was Monkey D. Luffy from One Piece. It was going like this all the time. It was, for some reason, in my head, my cheek was stretching all the way out here. It was still over here, but for some reason, I felt it over here.
The only reason
Mr.
I could
Bottom,
think,
what's his name in Family Guy?
The only reason I could think of that is that they gave you more anesthetic than usual to silence you.
That's never going to happen.
Unfortunately, you must have learned that, otherwise. Yeah. Anyway, the strain, what marks would you give it? Would you give it a 2?
Not even that.
Don't give it marks. Don't give it marks. It's not a school child. It's not going to give you an apple just because, you know, just to try and get good grades.
Rob did.
Have an apple on his desk.
Yes, I know. I realize the irony of me saying that while I have an apple on my desk. I was there. There's a part of my brain that was going, why are you talking about apples now? Oh, yeah. And then
it's
that
senile moment he's just had again, yes. People.
No, that was replaced by the, what is that purple drink called? The one that bursts in and goes, oh, yeah.
Oh, Kool-Aid.
Oh, Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Our fault for talking Family Guy.
Yes,
basically. So, yeah. Kool-Aid. No, straight.
Rob is susceptible.
Susceptible
that we have learned.
Susceptible.
Susceptible. That's what I just said.
Owen, do words good.
That I do.
Strain.
Yes. Now my turn. So, yeah, apart from that, it just... Characters, well, you know, the problem with the characters is they have some really good characters, but they're on the wrong side. It's like one of the bad guys is like this Nazi vampire, and he's a bad guy, but he's really cool.
Wow.
Like, he's just like really sharply dressed and softly spoken, and just like there's this real kind of like subtle menace thing going on. It's like,
we have ways of making you talk.
Yeah, he's like that. And I kind of want him to win.
And you will talk because we have ways of making you talk.
So is it, you, kind of, you almost forget what.
There are no
is.
Secrets here, my friend.
Except the deep, dark secrets.
No. There are no secrets here, my friend. You will talk.
You will
talk. I'm scared now.
Was it like that?
Kind of, but with less of like a Persian coffee cellar thrown in.
Wow.
Really bad accents. That's what we have here.
Yes.
You haven't heard my West Country one. Craig's looking at me. He's giving me an evil look in the background because I did this. He heard my really bad West Country accent last night. It was awful, wasn't it?
War
is kind of it wasn't so much West Country as Dorset mixed with mixed with Indian shop owner.
I have to hear it now.
No. Anyway,
but yeah, so
I'm just trying to figure out how the hell that would sound.
That's why I want to hear it.
It would sound bad, is what it would sound.
Yeah, more than likely.
So yeah, you're like you've got the Nazi vampire guy, and he's really cool. And then on the other side of it, like the main guy,
the good guys,
yeah,
the other side,
like the main protagonist, he's really annoying. Like, I think they tried to go like with this complex character who's like, he's not that great with talking to people, and he's kind of an alcoholic. But he's just such a whiny jerk all of the time.
Is he a wino?
Yes, he is a wino. Like, the problem is, he doesn't actually really do anything. He kind of just stands around complaining while all the better characters do stuff.
Okay.
Like, there's this one scene where, like, there's this guy called Vasily. Like, he's one of my favorites. Yeah, Vasily. He's like...
Vasily.
Thank God you said that, not the other part.
Yeah, we know what
That's
you thought.
That's Vasily, not a certain brand of cream.
No, no, it's not cream. It's an oil... It's a petroleum jelly.
But yeah, Vasily. He's like... He's this exterminator guy who has turned into, like, an ace vampire hunter.
So it's Blade.
Yeah, and like basically...
No.
Blade was a vampire, wasn't he?
He said ace vampire hunter. It's Red Dwarf.
But yeah, so like in one scene, they find this guy who's been infected with the vampire worms. And
vampire
like,
worms?
Yeah.
Is this something you can go to the pharmacist for? Is this like when your dog gets worms?
Yeah, and like the main guy's like, oh no, we have to save him.
Let's take him to a vet.
Yeah, we'll dig all the worms out, whatever.
I'm kind of looking at a promo picture of the strain, and I am seeing a worm coming out of someone's eye.
Yeah.
That I'm just automatically saying no to that. No, thank you. I don't need that in my life.
Anyway, I like horror stuff like that.
Yeah, there's this one scene where this guy is infected with worms, and like the main guy's like, oh no, we have to save him. Like Vasily's just like, nope, no, we can't. He's gonna die, and like just pulls out a gun and shoots him right in the face. Like the problem is in that scene, you're supposed to be like, oh no, he's such a harsh guy for killing him like that. But like, no, he did the right thing. It's like, the guy's infected, he's dead.
Yes.
Like, that's how it works.
I say it happens in Serenity, doesn't it? In the film Serenity, which is the firefly.
Oh, but the firefly is, yes. Yeah. Save me, like, some guy, like save that, me, please. Just kills him.
Just shoots him.
It's the only thing he could have done.
Yeah.
I got that. I remember that film as well.
That was a very good film.
Oh, and that actually kind of brought up one of, like, the main plus things is, like, sometimes it does do stuff really well. Like, there is a scene where one of the worms kind of goes into a lady's eye.
Yeah.
And that is such a creepy horror scene, and it's so well done. I wish more of the show could be like that.
Oh, God. Yes.
Yes.
Anyway, who's next?
I will go next.
Yeah, go for it.
I have been watching Doctor Who this time.
Ooh?
Yeah.
Which one?
Last series, so series 9.
So Capaldi?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Simply because it's like 2 weeks until the new series start.
I still remember all the furore about Peter Capaldi getting the role of Doctor Who, and everyone suddenly going, "Oh no, it's going to every other word is going to be a bleep."
Yeah,
that did occur to me as well.
Yeah, it's Peter
Capaldi. I think he's a good doctor.
He's a great doctor, but the problem is, can you imagine how much strain he's under every single day? Not swearing.
Yeah. I mean,
how much he just wants to go, you
they edit out every other word.
This sonic screwdriver is about as useful as a marzipan coated. Nope, can't finish it.
Well, since it's came back, right, we've had Christopher Eccleston, Doctor.
Of all the batch of the new Doctors, David Tennant, Matt Smith, Peter Capaldi, Christopher Eccleston, Eccleston was the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the one that got me into it, and he is fantastic. David Tennant's still my favourite, but I love Christopher
Eccleston. David Tennant had a lot more time. This is the thing. David Tennant and Matt Smith had a lot more time to basically settle into the role and make the role their own. Christopher Eccleston, basically, he got landed right in it, and he had one season.
Yeah.
You know, to basically say, this is mine.
But it's still going as well, and that's
what I'm saying. In one season, he did what it took Matt Smith and David Tennant several seasons to do.
Yeah.
He did it in one season.
I think David Tennant was the Doctor for too long.
Yeah.
I still think they should have gotten one more season out of him because
I actually think they were a bit too late and they finished it
nicely. The only thing I don't like about when David Tennant finished is they had like three specials perfectly in time for him to regenerate into Matt Smith.
That's
simply because they were getting brand new writers and everything brought in as well.
See, the thing is,
which is
Matt
why
Smith,
they absolutely destroyed the TARDIS.
Matt Smith was all right as the Doctor, but The thing that struck me about the Doctor, right, and the thing that I didn't like about the Matt Smith one was there was no history. It was basically, we're going to make a completely clean slate of this with Amy Pond. There's going to be no connection to the real world. So there was what's her name? The second companion after Rose Tyler.
Martha Jones.
Martha Jones, right?
She was brilliant.
The thing is, Martha Jones was working for UNIT.
Yeah.
And Martha Jones, Matt Smith had dealings with UNIT during his thing, didn't he?
Yeah.
So where the hell was Martha Jones?
No, he didn't even ask about her.
That's my point. She was never mentioned at all. But the thing is, she was the Doctor's companion for a while. So when the Doctor turns up and UNIT are dealing with them, who are they going to call? Mm. Martha Jones.
Yeah, but to be fair, the actress who plays her is like in Sense8 now on Netflix, so I think they probably just couldn't get the actress back.
You could still get her, like, how's Martha? Yeah. Basically.
Because I think what they were trying to do with Matt Smith was kind of like start a sort of new continuity.
The thing is, there's no point in starting a new continuity when you have so much history. That's basically the problem with DC and Marvel. They keep trying to start new history, new continuities, and not actually resolving all of the issues that were in their original histories.
No, that's true. I mean,
you shouldn't do that with the Doctor because the Doctor jumps around in time anyway.
Yeah.
And Martha Jones was willing to blow up planet Earth.
Yeah, no, that's true.
You know, she was willing to do what the Doctor, what she thought the Doctor would have done.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the way when Martha left, right, the next season when Donna took over.
Yeah.
I did like that the fact that they did bring Martha back into it.
Yeah. And that's what I mean.
Rose was in it as well. Yeah. At the end of the series, don't forget, Rose came in.
Rose came into it. Martha came into it. The three companions of David Tennant and Christopher Eccleston were actually in that last episode when you found out that the TARDIS actually needed like 8 people to pilot it properly.
Yeah.
You know,
Didn't Martha stop working for you?
Yes, she did. She actually went. She actually went freelancing. What's his face?
With Mickey.
Mickey.
Yeah.
Because
I think the idea was they were originally supposed to join Torchwood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've just got one thing to say back to what Andrew said. With them starting with a clean slate, I get what you mean. But I've got one person that kind of disputes that, and that's River Song. First introduced with David Tennant's Doctor.
Yes, yes.
And then
that's because
the thing is, she's the only one who
Stephen
carries
Moffat's
over.
Moffat's special. Yeah, I love her character.
Yeah. River Song is fantastic.
Oh,
right? I really don't like her.
I think she's absolutely brilliant.
I think she's too much of a Mary Sue.
I like the idea of River Song more than I like River Song, I've got to say. I like the actress who played her. Okay,
Alex
Kingston. She was fine as well. But it's the idea of River Song that I like, the whole concept of her, the fact that she appears sporadically and basically just she knows the Doctor in a way that nobody else does. And the thing that always got me about River Song's relationship with the Doctor from her early appearances was that she'd show up and the Doctor was just kind of, who are you? Yeah. How do you know me this much?
That was the best thing until the midway through series 6, right, when you find out who she is.
Yeah.
It was brilliant because the mystery was there. It's like, hang on a minute, how do you know the Doctor like this? At the end, end of the first part of series 6, right, when the Doctor finds out who she is.
Yeah.
Right. The BBC then ruined it by telling Amy who she was.
Yeah.
And I think they should have kept it like that. Like, hang on, I'd like the way they've done it.
Do you know what Doctor Who was good at doing, though? And this one actually quite struck me was, when they had the box, what was it called? The Pandorica.
The
Pandora's box thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you didn't know what was inside.
Yeah.
Wow, you honestly didn't know what was inside.
That was a brilliant move.
Amy comes out of it, right? Mm. And she's not sure what's going on. She meets the young version of her.
Yeah.
And then,
should cause a paradox.
The thing that got me about that, but the thing is, the universe is ending already, so who cares about paradoxes?
Yeah.
The thing that got me about that was the way that they basically created this mythology about a specific character. And it wasn't the Doctor, it wasn't Amy or the Cybermen or anything like that. It was Rory.
That's right. Yeah, that was brilliant. I loved that. I just loved the whole lore that put up some of the kind of legends of the Centurion, like protecting this box because of who was inside.
You know, and I thought, you know, that's actually really well done. You know, the way they've basically written this in to highlight the fact that Rory, you know, he basically stayed there for 2,000 years.
Yeah, he's a top bloke.
Yeah.
Definitely the kind of bloke you would want to meet.
It kind of cemented in Amy's mind who she was going to marry.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Then they were getting divorced, then they kind of...
They get back together.
Yeah, it was just kind of...
Well, they didn't really get
And then
divorced.
They die. Well, No.
They
never signed the papers.
No, they're in the process of getting...
No, they do die.
But yeah.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
They die, yeah, but they don't. But they don't.
It's one of those.
It was the angels, wasn't it?
Oh, so my God. George just realised about Rory.
What?
He could conceivably say, I live, I die, I live again.
Do you know, that would have been the perfect comeback to when the silence are going, the man who dies and dies and dies again.
Die one last time.
It's like pulls up some spray paint, sprays it across his teeth.
What a day. What a lovely day.
Yeah. But you see, there's always, this still gets me about Doctor Who, and I know I'm getting away from Rory to Doctor Who, but for the past year or so, past few years even, we've had this whole thing about, is the Doctor's name going to be revealed? But they just keep that bit going.
The Doctor's name has been revealed.
Has it?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Thing is, with Matt Smith, they actually did do a great bit after the whole silence and that whole war when he took a step back into the shadows. And you had What's-His-Face's head in the box saying, the greatest question in the universe, Doctor Who.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just kind of the way they did that was really well done. Still have these flashes of, you know, of genius writing within the show, but I mean, think that what they need to do, it's getting a bit stagnant.
The Christmas special where Matt Smith regenerated into Peter Capaldi, it's actually Clara that announces and says that the Doctor's name is the Doctor. That's what everybody knows him as.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's not his name.
Yeah. Granted, River does actually know his real name.
Yeah.
Because she's the one that opens the tomb with basically his tomb.
Yeah.
So it has been revealed to someone like that, right? Whether or not it's actually going to get revealed to everyone else.
It won't get revealed to everyone else because...
Unless they want to finish the series again.
The thing is, the thing about the Doctor, and this is what I don't like about the new iteration of the Doctors, I don't like the fact that they keep exposing more and more of him.
Mm.
You know, okay, yes, he's been around for 900 years or whatever it is, or he's 900 years old and he fought in the Time War or didn't, or did, or he didn't steal the TARDIS or he did, yada, yada.
Yeah,
he locked his planet up.
They're basically removing a lot of the mystery from the character, and it's the mystery that made the character, because you could never tell what the Doctor was going to do. He was this mercurial thing. You know, this existence that was so much more than anything humans could be. And the reason why he liked humans so much was because he saw the potential in what humans could be.
Yeah.
You know?
I can understand what you mean, but I think with the Doctor, he's got so much that they can just reveal bits and bobs and they could power it on for another 10 years.
Yeah, but the thing is, those bits and bobs, sometimes they're hugely important. And I think the most important one was, again, going back to Christopher Eccleston, with the last Dalek and all that rage and all that hatred and all that anger that he was pouring out. I mean, it was just kind of, I reckon it was one of Eccleston's best moments as the Doctor when Rose Tyler stood in front of the last Dalek and said, what is it you want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what exactly do you want? Do you want to kill the last of this race and basically be a murderer until the end of time?
Yeah.
Or do you want just some peace in your life?
Yeah. I mean, he goes that entire episode, he brings him so, he gives so much in that episode. He starts with the fear when he first sees it, then the anger, then the kind of sort of almost acceptance or sympathy that this is the way things are.
See, it's good thing Yoda wasn't anywhere in there because you just have fear turns to anger, anger turns to hate, hate leads to suffering. That is the road to the dark side.
But then he starts doing backflips.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes.
Yeah, moving on.
Moving on.
Owen, what have you been watching?
Well, one of my favourite TV series came back to British TV this year on the 10th of August. A program called Suits, which I think I've mentioned once before.
Is this...
That's on Dave, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the, I know. Yeah.
It's a lawyer procedural show starring...
See, when you say Suits, for some reason, I'm automatically thinking Neil Patrick Harris in How I Met Your Mother.
All right.
And the suit song.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it's a show about lawyers and basically how they conduct themselves and how they go through the cases they're doing. Some kind of
skirt
the law.
And they wear suits, but they also file lawsuits.
Oh, why would you do that?
Because that's the pun in the title.
That is I'm just pointing out their pun.
See, I like the suits... I've heard of, but I've never actually sat and watched. So, you know, tell us more about it before we start talking.
It stars Gabriel Macht and Patrick K. Adams. Gabriel Macht plays this sort of high rolling, very successful lawyer who sees himself above everyone else. And he's not afraid to kind of skirt the law to kind of achieve the goal. And then you've got Patrick K. Adams is his sort of protege, but. His secret is that he's not actually a lawyer. He doesn't have a law degree, but he has a photogenic memory. So if he's read a law book, he knows everything, and he can just—he's basically living as a fraud. But he does it so well because he already knows what he needs.
Okay,
if only it was that easy. Yeah,
it's a really good program. Gabriel Macht, he sort of acts like an anti-hero, but you still love the character because he's just so cool.
It's a little bit kind of Wall Street, but involving lawyers.
It is. Also, doesn't his character have like a really cool name as well?
Yeah. Well, that's what suits me. It's kind of because when everyone thinks of lawyers, they you don't just call them lawyers, you also call them suits. Like, there's a couple of suits waiting for you.
Not really. No, yeah.
Well, it's generalization,
that.
But yeah.
I mean, that could also refer to like CIA, FBI.
Yeah, that's
but,
true.
But for me, I don't like the legal dramas like, you know, Matlock and, you know.
Yeah.
I don't like stuff like Ally McBeal. I don't mind stuff like Franklin and Bash. Mm. I've got a soft spot for Franklin and Bash.
I do like that.
And I've got a real soft spot for Boston Legal.
Yeah.
But only because James Spader and William Shatner were just awesome in there.
That is very true.
Any two actors who appear at your office, office Halloween or Christmas party, dressed as flamingos, it's fine by me. And the fact that that William Shatner in there, he keeps repeating his own name. And there was one where he met his adopted son, his name's Denny Crane, and his son's name's Donnie Crane. And the two of them just spent 5 minutes just going, Denny Crane, Donnie Crane, Denny Crane, Donnie Crane, Denny Crane, Donnie Crane.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, you know, you just saw them doing it. And then, you know, James Spader walks out and like, they're just spending their time just introducing themselves to each other repeatedly.
It's just, I mean, now whenever I hear it, James Spader, I automatically think Ultron. So just to watch that and just imagine.
Oh, with Ultron in Boston Legal. Boston Ultra Legal. Oh. Or Ultron Legal.
Wow.
Boo.
Well, it would have been better than Avengers 2.
I liked Avengers 2. No.
Boo.
To be fair, as a lawyer, I could actually imagine James Spader saying,
You're a lawyer?
No.
I was going to say, quiet.
No, as James Spader playing a lawyer, I can imagine him saying, I once had strings, but now I'm free. There are no strings on me. I can imagine him saying that.
Well, so basically, that's Pinocchio.
Do you know the funny thing?
Ultron also used that as well.
That's basically Pinocchio.
Yeah, this is how popular Boston Legal was. Nobody... nobody in the UK, in pretty much in the majority of the UK, I think about 85, 87, maybe even 90% of the population had never heard of the word Schadenfreude until James Spader used it in Boston Legal and explained what it meant. All of a sudden, everybody suddenly started using Schadenfreude.
Yes. So anyway, back to what I was talking about.
It's an awesome insult, though, anyway.
Right.
But it's not an insult.
Yeah, no, but you can call people in and make it an insult. It's brilliant.
Really? How? Mm-hmm. I'm curious about this. Owen, you know what Schadenfreude means, don't you? Taking pleasure in other people's misery.
Yes.
Okay. How do you turn that into an insult?
Haven't you ever done it?
No.
When you're online, when you're gaming online, I just randomly throw it out like that, and it's brilliant.
Oh, do you just yell at all the 13-year-olds who have no idea what it actually means?
Yeah. Is this like running up to some kid in the street and going, Schadenfreude! And then running away.
Orange, nothing about doing that. That's the worst thing.
I kind of try and stay away from the 13-year-olds and online gaming anyway, so I wouldn't know how.
I've just realised you don't want to do that because those kids might have been watching South Park and they might think it's a different version of Rochambeau.
That is true, actually.
Anyway,
that makes it even more fun.
So,
Suits.
Suits is now in its fifth season. Yeah.
Hang on, five seasons?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's doing quite well.
Yeah.
I think it came out 2000. No, it's not that
given,
old. No.
Given it's 2015, it wouldn't have been. It would have probably been 2009.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it does have like half season break. So, the fifth season come out. It's a really good season because for anyone who knows, Harvey Specter, he's always supported by his secretary, Donna, who is almost like a mythical being because she seems to know everyone and everything, and it's just unbelievable. So he has to kind of deal with losing her to his peer, Lewis, who she now goes to be his secretary, and he's kind of dealing with that. But then they've also got an old rival coming back, stirring up trouble, and so there's a lot of really good stuff going on in this series.
It sounds like a male version of Desperate Housewives.
No. The Good Wife.
Yeah.
And let's keep it all in courtroom drama territory. Mm. It's The Good Wife, the manly version, which would make it The Good Husband, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it would. And Mike Ross, played by Patrick Adams, he's kind of gone into a next step in his life, but he's got to choose between his girlfriend Rachel and his future in the law profession, as the prospect of getting caught for his fraud kind of intensifies for him. So it's a really good season, and I've finished watching all the episodes because I've been watching them from America. I think in the UK, we're in episode 3 or 4. But it's a fantastic series, and I definitely think you should watch it. Start from the beginning, watch it up. It is a fantastic program. As far as all your legal lawyer programs are, like Boston Legal, it is superb. It's beautifully done.
Okay, just before we head into my one, I just want to quickly mention a news story that we actually forgot to mention.
No, that we were saving until now because it is a super special news story.
Yes.
Because we do not make mistakes.
No. Green Lantern may be appearing in Arrow.
Oh,
now that is good.
Now, we called this on... Yes. Andrew and I called this on 4Panel a while ago. We said if they were thinking about rebooting the Green Lantern movie, then the best thing they could do is make him get him to appear in the Arrow series. Mm. Arrow and Flash as a crossover thing, but basically have him appear in that. Basically set it in stone and then do a new Green Lantern movie that didn't rely on digital costumes or animated costumes or anything like that, and actually kind of stuck to the story.
Which is a revolutionary idea, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I don't understand it. This is a totally new concept.
It's almost as crazy as not making the villain a giant floating cloud of poo.
Yellow poo, even.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, that was one sick dog. so, Green Lantern is basically Arrow's fourth season referenced Hal's home of Coast City, and they're hoping that this means that Hal Jordan is going to make an appearance in Arrow. And if he does, that'll be a good thing, because in the comics, Hal Jordan and forgotten his name.
Oliver Queen.
Oliver Queen. Hal Jordan and Oliver Queen are actually best friends.
Hmm.
Yes, so, yeah, looking forward to that.
Hmm.
It's quite interesting that I am glad that the Green Lantern's going to regenerate, but because I've been following up about Green Lantern for ages, and I've read that with the movie, that there have been rumours that Tyrese Gibson's going to be the next Green Lantern.
Yeah, but he's going to be John Stewart.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the rumour anyway.
Yeah.
So, moving into what I've been watching then, and I have been watching The Great British Menu.
Yay!
I've been watching The Great British Menu for a long time, right? And it always struck me as a bit of an odd duck when it came to, like, the cooking competition shows, because it was always kind of professional chefs with their own restaurants and various things like that. And I like the idea of that. And you get some of those on, like, Food Network with, like, Chopped and various things like that. But with The Great British Menu, it was never about, you know, winning money or anything like that. It was all about the prestige of basically being one of the cooks at this banquet.
So basically top dog.
Yeah. And I like the idea of that.
Like, in the restaurant industry, a good reputation goes a long way.
Yeah. I like the idea that, you know, the big guy, big bald chef owns a pub?
Ainsley Harriet.
No, not Ainsley.
Tom Kerridge.
Tom Kerridge, yes. It was my first...
I have him as second choice, right? Ainsley Harriet
It was the first time I'd seen Tom Kerridge. You know, never heard of him before. He won the main twice in a row at the Great British Menu, which no one else has ever done. He won the main course twice in a row. So, yeah, obviously he wasn't allowed back on.
I think I'll be going to his pub next time.
But, yeah, it's a Michelin-starred pub. Yeah. So, anyway, yes.
No more strain.
There's loads of really good chefs on, but the thing is, they come up with these weird and wacky ideas and just kind of, it's just fun watching them come up with all sorts of really, really odd stuff that you just think, don't honestly know anyone who'd put those two things together, and I don't even know what they are. So why would I want to put them together with anything if I don't even know what it tastes like?
There's already a chef out there that did that. Oh, what was his name? With the glasses.
Oh, Heston Blumenthal.
That's it.
See, I don't think they'd allow Heston on. It'd be hilarious to see Heston on there, though.
It's like, yeah, I've made this really weird stuff.
Well, it's like we all do stuff of like the that, IT really? Crowd, wasn't it? Like, they go to Heston Blumenthal's new restaurant. It's like, it's edible clocks.
the thing that kind of annoys me a little about the Great British Menu is the judges is always Prulith, Matthew Fort, and Oliver Payton. And Oliver Payton is a grumpy old so-and-so. Matthew Fort is a grumpy old so-and-so. And Prude Leith is a grumpy old so-and-so.
I was going to say, I've got this one, a grumpy so-and-so.
Yeah, they're all grumpy so-and-sos, but to varying degrees. Oliver Payton is obviously a more grumpy so-and-so than the other two. Prue's tends to be quite strict in kind of the school headmistress type thing. And Oliver's just kind of, I'm happy as long as I'm eating.
It's the same for a lot of us.
Yeah, that was a sentiment I can get
behind.
That's
the way most people work.
But the thing that got me was, you know, if you're doing a banquet to honour something like the Women's Institute, which is like, yeah, okay, a lot of these people who are in the Women's Institute are quite, you know, quite working class.
There's quite a potential for some dangerous jokes here.
No. The thing is, why they do have like women from the WI, higher up in the WI who are guest judges. But the thing that kind of got me about this whole thing about the whole judging was that the judging seemed to be a bit too arbitrary.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the banquets seem to have scaled down a little bit. I mean, a couple of years ago they had Prince Charles, hosting the banquet in honor of like British produce and. I thought that's like amazing. You got royalty there, but it just seemed to have been scaling down. I mean, then I think the year after that they had like a World War II honorary thing, and they had the Prime Minister there. Then it just seems to scale down and down and down. You're just like, okay, why don't you do something celebrating like, you know, British rock music? Is it going to be like
SpongeBob?
No. The best burgers. is the banquet going to be...
I'm pretty sure the reason for it going down is something that rhymes with smudget butts.
Yes.
Yes, you got to be careful of them.
But yeah, it's sad because the Great British Menu is a very, very good cooking competition. Hmm. And it's got a lot of charm about it, and hearing the life stories of some of these chefs, you just kind of, yeah, okay, I get where you're coming from now. But some of the stuff that they come up with, you just think it's a bit much, isn't it? It's just one course. Why are you going to town? Why not just kind of whack it on a plate and give it to them? But no, you're not allowed to do that because you're a chef, and everything has to be stylish, and you have to lay it out perfectly, and every leaf has to be in place. And if it isn't, then they're
going to mark you down.
Jealous
because he got kicked off for trying to make a pot noodle.
No, seriously, I did.
Microwave noodles.
I do love programs like that.
No, that is microwave.
It was pot noodle.
Yep. I do love cookery shows like that because I just love when people say, oh, I could make that, and then nearly burn the house down trying to make it.
Yes.
See, clearly you can't. You're not a chef. Otherwise, you'd be there.
Well, no, I can cook. I just can't cook as well as
you.
That.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm just thinking of like people I know say, oh, yeah, I could make that. But that's no problem.
You know students. I know students as well. I've known students twice, and I know exactly what they're like. I had one of my old housemates saying to me, Rob, this chicken looks off. I said, why? He said, because it's not white. I said, okay, why is that a problem? He said, well, isn't it white meat? I thought it was supposed to be white. It was raw chicken.
Wow.
That's not fair. I'll have you know, when I was a student, one time I cooked an omelette and it very nearly wasn't burnt. So there.
I've actually already seen messages of someone saying, how do cereal bars work? Like, what do you mean? Well, I put this in milk, but it doesn't break up. You idiots. You idiots. So, yeah, students.
Student cooks, yes. How long do you boil an egg for? Well, you put it in the water, and when there's no more water, it's probably done.
I'll tell you what, I'd like to see that as a show.
What? Like, student cooks.
Yeah.
They used to have that. It was called Can't Cook, Won't Cook.
Yeah.
And it had A&C Harriet, and I am a firm believer that, you know, ready, steady, cook, leave it by the wayside. Can't cook, won't cook, bring that back. Because That was a great show. Just some of the stuff that they came up with was just like, it seemed like a good idea.
Yes, I'm a fairly good cook. I've been told my fish and chips are chip shop quality.
Chip shop are we talking about? Because that's the question.
That's either a compliment or an insult.
It's actually quite a compliment. They were really good, but I mean, you do get those that can cook, but then just everybody just hears about the ones that set buildings on fire because they forgot they put their food on.
I thought I was the one who was supposed to be senile.
Some students can be dumb as well.
There's a difference between...
So
it would help if you said it into the mic.
Yeah, there's the difference between being dumb and senile.
I find the main difference is YouTube.
Yes.
No, Tumblr.
No, the Daily Mail.
Tumblr. Tumblr is the Daily Mail of the internet.
Yes, but the Daily Mail is the Daily Mail.
I think the Daily Mail online is the Daily Mail of the internet.
No, even the Daily Mail of the online isn't like Tumblr. Tumblr is the Daily Mail of the internet.
No, nothing is like Tumblr.
But if you ever try and cook something in a pot, and then when you get back, you've actually burned a hole through a metal pot on the hob,
then that's
cooking's
skill.
Not for you. Cooking's not for you.
Well, that's... Yeah. Not going to say what I was going to say there, because I'd probably get lynched again.
Well,
there'll be more people getting added to the queue that already wants to kill us, so you may as well just say it.
It'll be like a tug of war, me on one end with a noose and everyone else going, heave, heave.
I think we've lost our listeners in the south of America.
Why?
Lynch. No, man. I'm not going to... I don't know why I even said that.
I, you lost me at the sharp turn at the left.
Yes. A bit too far there.
Because it was you saying South America,
yeah,
not South.
Oh, South
exactly.
Southern States of America.
That's why I went, I go, where?
Yeah. Southern States of America, where they take pride in their lynchings.
Yes. See,
thumbs
now
up
it makes
there.
Sense.
Thumbs up there.
Now it makes sense.
Oh, but the Venezuelan branch of the KKK are really disappointed now.
See, that was where I was getting confused. I was thinking, hey, what's going on?
Did you not watch the Argentinian episode of Top Gear? Lynchings were definitely going to happen there.
Yeah, but that was kind of like, yeah. They don't like us anyway.
True.
Well, there are.
That's why we didn't as well, wasn't it?
Oh, no, we don't like them. We definitely don't like them. But the fact they don't like us really hurts.
Why? I'm a lovely fella.
We're lovely people. Whereas you, Argentinians, oh.
I shake my fist at you. Look at me shaking my fist. Anyway, yeah.
Dag nabbit.
So Great British Menu is what I have been watching. And it's been interesting, but it's not been as interesting as previous years. You know, it just seems like they're kind of going through the motions now. Seems like the bite's gone out of it.
Trying to rediscover their footing.
I see what you did there.
that is actually such a clever joke. I didn't even notice it.
Did you notice the jam pun he put in earlier?
I didn't notice the jam.
You didn't notice the jam pun? Oh, shocking.
Wow. What's happened? We can't actually recognise good jokes. We can't recognise the good puns. We only point out the bad ones.
Kids today have no stamina.
It's shocking, isn't it?
Hey, you're as much to blame as we are.
I'm not to blame for anything. I made these really subtle, delicate jokes. You know.
I'm not to blame because I noticed them.
Exactly.
My defense, I've been in the studio for what feels like about a year now.
Yes.
Anyway, right.
I don't remember what the sun looks like.
I've had two Red Bulls to keep myself awake.
Anyway, we are at the end of the show. We shall see you all next week for more On The Box. Until then, I have been Rob.
I've been Owen.
I've been Andrew.
They've been better. I've been Jordan, so I will take that one in between you.
The cat.
I've been Andrew.
I hope you know these two want to rub your belly.
No. I'll leave that job to Andrew.
Hey, Jordan's not allowed belly rubs because you dropped a dead mouse on the carpet.
Oh.
Yeah, after he said that, I had this. I thought you'd basically beaten up some dubstep DJ and left him in the corner.
My name is Owen,
and that invisible chair there is where Andy normally sits.
Hello, Andy. Everybody wave to the invisible Andy. Yes.
See, he's actually been here all this time. We just haven't turned his microphone on.
Everyone at home wave.
Yeah, he's been tight to the chair like that, so he can't move either.
Yes. Anyway, we'll see you all next week. Take care. Have fun.